You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshureword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Love not the truth. Number three, James 2:20 warns us that having faith without the subsequent development of good works is faith that is dead. In a similar manner, Paul alerts us to the fact that it is not a secure place to just know truth. At some point in our relationship with God and His Word, love for the truth must develop within our hearts too, or also. Love acts like an anchor of the soul to truth. Love of the truth is like an anchor. Works come after being born again by faith, and works build upon faith. Works give faith substance and expression. Likewise, love of the truth comes after a believer begins a journey as a disciple of truth as his or her traveling guide. Truth becomes a guide, a traveling companion that one comes to respect and to love. Loving the truth gives truth authority in the believer's life, and it gives believers endurance for the long haul of life. Acting on truth must become more than an issue of duty, which it is at first. We do these things because the Word of God says that if we love God, we will do these things. And so even if we are not really in touch with love for God yet, we do many things out of duty. And that's a good thing to do. It's a starting place. But acting on truth must become more than an issue of duty. Acting on truth is to become a matter of joyful cooperation with two of the essential elements of the nature of the Redeemer Himself and of a redeemed life. And those two essential elements, of course, are that of love and truth. Yet, many fail at this point, and many more will fail. Our text has been 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 7, and we will read it several times today. 2 Thessalonians 2:7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. This isn't just David Copperfield doing some tricks. If you know who David Copperfield is, he was one of the most well-known of illusionists here in the last 20, 30 years. And all of his stuff was, it'd make you go, wow, and how did he do that? And man, that's just really something. David Copperfield is nothing compared to what the man of sin will be able to do. even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Receiving something has to do with somebody else offering it, doesn't it? We receive something of someone because they are offering it to us. They've got their hand out with it. They're suggesting we take it. They want us to have it. And in this particular case, because they receive not the offer of God for the love of the truth, they're not saved. Verse 11, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe, that word believe means have faith in, a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Last week, we reviewed several scripture references regarding the response of unbelievers toward God and to what He so freely offers, which scriptures also reveal the response of God toward their rejection. I speak of Romans 1 and this passage, 2 Thessalonians 2 and Revelation 16 and some other areas where God is busy working in the lives of men very openly, very obviously, and yet people turn away from that. In short, they turn their back to Him, to God. And many even mock His existence and the expression of His great love through Jesus Christ. That will go very badly for them on Judgment Day. In a restatement of what we said last week, the crux of the matter for most of the population of the earth, especially in these last days, is their rejecting the truth that can plainly be seen or easily discovered. And not only the truth, but the expressed love of God behind the open display of truth that is meant to lead a soul to the awareness of God as the Creator and then to God's Savior. The truth's being, quote-unquote, thrown down, according to Daniel 8:12 in these last days, are those things we listed in Lesson 1 and repeated again last week. But chiefly, the truth regarding the existence of a loving Creator God and His redemptive activities. A great problem among Christians is the lie they already believe, and that is this: my God is such a loving Savior that He will permit the total disregard of His commandments in the Word by Christians and still save them. That is one of hell's great lies. That you can profess faith in Jesus, put on a show at the altar some in some church, go out and continue to live like you did. You don't live the Word of God, you don't read it, you don't follow His commandments, and think that you're still saved and going to heaven. That falls in line with the doctrine of devils that has to do with once you're saved, you're always saved. So the great lie that Christians already believe is, my God is such a loving Savior that He will permit the total disregard of the commands of His Word by Christians and still save them. I remind you what Peter said in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. He's not talking about unbelievers. He's talking about those that are professing faith. He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. He's talking about those in our midst, those of us that are really on the road to still perishing because of great sin and disbelief. But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Turn around from the direction you're going and go the other way. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation? That means lifestyle, conduct, behavior. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Again, the question, that ends with a question mark. What manner of person should ye be, seeing these things are coming? A fact of human life on this planet is this. God loves us and wants to redeem every soul from the destiny of eternal punishment for its sin and rebellion. Sadly, very, very few will respond to what God is trying to do. He has shown us how much He loves us by sending His only begotten Son to live sinlessly among us and then painfully die and shed His atoning blood for us on the cross. That happened at Calvary. Then, by His Spirit, God calls our name and offers us the gift of forgiveness and eternal life if we will simply believe and receive what He offers and live for Him all of our days. He also offers many other gifts, including the one that we are focusing on. The gift that a great many believers turn away from is the gift of love for the truth. A love for the knowledge of the truth, which will both, love and truth, set us free from many things. Humans, instead, choose to do things on their own, to be independent of God as much as possible, to wing it. That means to go ahead and do something without a plan or without a, you know, you don't know really what you're doing. You're just going to go out and fly by the seat of your pants. That's another term that's an old term that basically means you're just going to go out. You don't know what direction to go. You're just going to go do something and hope that it's right. And humans instead choose to do things on their own, to be independent of God as much as possible, to wing it or fly by the seat of their pants in search of another way to heaven without an accountability to God. What a catastrophic tragedy. What a catastrophic tragedy to turn away from something so pure and free and precious for mere moments, selfish pleasure. That's what our lives are, mere moments on this earth compared to the length of eternity in heaven or hell. The lake of fire. What a tragedy. Unbelievers reject the gospel truth, and many believers alive today reject the divine ingredient offered in these last days that will make the difference between enduring to the end or defecting to the Antichrist. They reject love for the truth that is so consuming. Your love for the truth and living according to it can be so consuming that it has the power to incinerate all carnal temptations and the fear from threats to abandon the truth that you believe. Love for the truth will do that for you. It'll reduce to ashes those temptations that come against you. And they will cause faith in God to skyrocket when somebody comes and says, you must give up your Bible, you must give up your faith in this Jesus, or you will die, or your family will die. Love for the truth will help you through those things. I remind you, especially regarding the love of God, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Verse 18, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Romans 5, in verse 5, it says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Romans 5, 6, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Titus chapter 3 and in verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that the kindness of the and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That word know, you need to get a hold of this because it is a second witness to what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 about love of the truth. And ye shall know the truth. That word know, of course, means to perceive and understand with your human mind. But I want you to know something. You'd never get this if you didn't study it, didn't research it, didn't ask God for understanding. That word know is the same word from which the Hebrew refers to a man and a woman having intimate relations. And Adam knew his wife Eve, and they bore a son. That word know in this context carries that with it. And ye shall be intimate with truth, and that will set you free. Paul said they received not the love or intimacy for the truth, and for that cause, they would believe a lie. Jesus said, and ye shall know. That means, if I dare say the words, have spiritual intercourse with truth. And that is by no means anything that's that should cause anybody to blush or be embarrassed. That is those things where we come together with truth and have intimate love of the truth. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free is one word in the Greek. The truth shall make you free. That means to liberate, deliver, make you exempt, set you at liberty from the dominion of sin, according to Strong's and Thayer's Greek definitions of that word. Let me read this again. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then, by the way, his word is truth, right? John chapter 17, verse 17, sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, in contrast to this, the opposite, the other side of the coin, the negative side, is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. It might be a curious concept for most, this love of the truth that's spoken of in 2 Thessalonians 2:10. But if you carefully consider such a thing, you can see the wisdom of God in offering us an endowment of love for truth. Even all truth. Not just the truth of His Word, which is, of course, I said, the flagship of truth. But all truth. You and I can know the truth of an issue, but despise the truth for what it means you and I should do. People that are used to lying find out, thou shalt not bear false witness. They don't like that because it means they need to stop lying, and it's such a part of their life. They don't like the truth. You and I can know the truth of an issue, but despise the truth for what it means you and I should do. And as Christians, we are called to do, commanded to do, as a moral creature. Even one that's not even born again yet. No matter our response to truth, we are still held accountable to the standard of truth by God. Even if we disbelieve it, God holds us to that standard. Even if we dislike it, God holds us to the standard of truth that we know. And even if we denounce it, as really is indicated in 2 Thessalonians 2:10, whether we're born again or not, everyone needs to know judgment day waits for us in the future. Each one. Everyone is accountable to God, no matter how young you are. Everyone is accountable to God for the truth that they have come to know. Why do you think that there are heavenly books kept on you and me, but for to be a witness for us or a witness against us on judgment day? This is one principle of God's kingdom. Walk in what you are given, and there will be more given. In the case of truth, do not walk in obedience to the things truth requires of you, and you stand in contempt of God. You ever seen a court program or some kind of a series, and you're in the courtroom setting, and there's some shenanigans going on, and the judge bangs his gavel and said, if you don't do this or stop doing that, I will hold you in contempt of court. And if somebody continues to act up, he slams the gavel down and he declares some kind of a judgment against them. Even if they're sitting in the back of the courtroom, they're not even part of the trial that's going on. They are in contempt of court. They have disrupted it. They have been disrespectful. They have paid no attention to the things that need to go on properly in that court. He slams his gavel down, says, you're in contempt of court. The bailiff walks over, arrests that person, and puts them in the slammer for however long the judge says. And he has the power to do that. Contempt of court is a serious thing. And let me say this again. In the case of truth, if you do not walk in obedience to the things that truth requires of you, you stand in contempt of God. Do not be deceived. If you disregard what you know is right and true, especially as revealed by the Word of God, there will be serious consequences both in this life and in the age to come. I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul is talking about believers that do not rightfully discern the body of the Lord, and they take communion and they do such things. In fact, I want to read you what the judgment against... These are believers. Paul says, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Verse 26. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. I submit that knowing the truth and turning your back to it will have the same effect on us, and that is not discerning the Lord's body for this cause, or as a result of being this way, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That means they die prematurely. They die before their time because of their ignorance and their slothfulness toward God. As I said, there will be serious consequences both in this life and in the age to come for those that disregard what they know is right and true. Now, let me get a little closer to where you might live. I hope you don't live in any of these places. But let me get a little bit closer to where you might live as a challenge, as an opportunity for you to examine yourself, as we just read. Let me ask you this. What does the Bible teach us about fornication, abortion, and homosexuality? And by extension, pornography and other sexual sins. Are you involved in such things? That's contempt for the truth if you know what the Bible says about those things. That's contempt for the truth. What does the Bible teach us about lying, dishonesty, trickery, and deceit? And by extension, manipulating people, exaggerations, and fraud. Are you involved in such things? You are living in contempt for God's truth. What does the Bible say about following after the customs and traditions of man rather than the commandments of God? What does the Bible say about celebrating pagan festivals? Those are the abominations of godless nations that they practice yearly at various times of the year. You know what they are. I'm not even going to mention them. What does the Bible say about celebrating pagan festivals rather than the feasts of the Lord and resting on the seventh day Sabbath? Do you know about them and you don't do them, you don't care? You are in contempt of God's truth. What does the Bible say about illicit drug use? And by extension, the overuse and dependence on prescribed drugs. For those that claim to be believers, what does the Holy Bible, the King James Version Holy Bible, have to say to all those Christians wearing the emperor's new clothes? They think they're dressed in robes of righteousness, and yet there's nothing unrighteous about the way they live. They prance around, thinking they're clothed, and yet the Spirit of God sees them as naked. You can read about that in Revelation chapter 3, what Jesus himself says to the church at Laodicea. He even tells them they're naked. For those that claim to be believers, what does the King James Version Holy Bible have to say to all those Christians wearing the emperor's new clothes, and you know that they were naked, because they're not walking according to the truth of God's Word? Let me give you some examples of what the Word of God says. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now, we're not talking about unbelievers here. We're talking about those that are professing faith in Jesus. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. I remind you, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. 2 Timothy verse 3, chapter 3, verse 1, 2 Timothy 3, 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now just as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto them as theirs also was. And again, I remind you, 2 Thessalonians says, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. It's a very serious thing to turn away from the truth of God, especially in these last days. Romans chapter 2, verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Verse 6. Who will render to every man according to his deeds. Or in some people's cases, their non-deeds. Not doing. Verse 7. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. I remind you again, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they may believe a lie, and that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Just one verse. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts. And that's not written just for the young people, by the way. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. 2 Peter 2, we read that before. We're not going there again, but 2 Peter 2 talked about those that needed within the body of Christ to come to repentance. Here we see it again. Peradventure, God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And then we've read parts of this already this morning. 2 Peter 3:9. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the heavens and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Look at verse 14. Wherefore, brethren, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent to be found, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. You cannot be found in that place if you're walking in disobedience to the truth of God. We must pursue truth. And one of the great blessings that God gives us is the gift of loving the truth. Loving the truth. In order that we have the strength to move on. As the genuine children of God, we must familiarize ourselves with the truth of God's Word and walk in all of it. But there is a gift from God that makes that walk a real joy rather than a grumbling duty. That gift is the love of the truth. When we begin to discern within ourselves a love for the truth, we need to nurture that love. The way you nurture that love is by learning more truth and walking in it. It becomes, that love for the truth becomes the spiritual engine that moves us forward in our walk of truth. Such things as moral truth, divine truth, truth about God and His written word, truth between ourselves and all others, and the power by love to speak the truth in Christ's righteous ways. Without this mark of a growing Christian, that is love for the truth, living according to truth is a good thing. But loving and living the truth is a far, far better and a more spiritually secure thing. It is the difference between doing work that you can tolerate versus doing work that you love doing. And anything that you love doing stops being work. I'm here to tell you. In fact, there's a saying that was going around the business world years ago. Find a job that you can love and you'll never work a day in your life. Because what is your work? If you love it so much, it's not like work. It's something that you enjoy. And I say again, loving the truth or just doing the truth out of duty, it is a difference between doing work that you can tolerate doing versus doing work that you love doing. If you love the truth, it becomes easy to walk in it. It's as if it's no longer a duty. It's something that brings you joy. My experience has taught me these few things. Let me share this with you. Love for the truth generally wins over love for self. And that is a victory indeed. When you do something that doesn't serve yourself, but serves others in God, which is what the truth teaches us. Love for the truth generally wins over love for self. A victory. Love for the truth towers over and intimidates carnal compromise. That's another victory. Love for truth towers over and intimidates carnal compromise. Here's another one that I've come to understand. Love for the truth dispels. That makes it go away. It causes it to vaporize and dissipate. Love for the truth dispels the temptation to lie or deceive others. That is a victory, thanks to Jesus. Love, I found. Love is our strength and truth our authority to declare God's gospel, message, and wisdom. And to display it in and to the world and the devil. That is our calling. Let me say it again. Love is our strength and truth our authority to declare God's gospel, the message and His wisdom, and to display it in and to the world and the devil. Yes, we are called to display and live out and declare the truth to even the powers of darkness. I'll show you that in just a minute. That is our calling, dear ones. And love for the truth bears the fruit of joy and peace in the doing of truth. That is our reward here on the earth. Joy and peace. And especially in this day and age, joy and peace are two things rarely found both in one person and hardly found alone in many people at all. But we can have both joy and peace in these days as we walk in love of the truth. I want to read you Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. So we begin to round this out and wind this down. Colossians 1, verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. He's talking to the Colossians. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. They say here in America, once people graduate from high school, they stop learning. They don't want to learn anymore. They're done learning, unless, of course, you go to college. But even then, most of us in America, once we get through whatever education we do want or do pursue, once we're done with that, we don't want to learn anymore. We stop learning. God's given us a brain and a mind that should continue to learn all the days of our life. New skills, new talents, new understanding, new facts. NJ's always sharing with me something he's seen on the Discovery Channel that he's learned that's very interesting. There's so much out there to learn and to know about and enjoy and appreciate about our great God and His mighty creation. And yet people, they just don't, I'm done learning, thank you very much. And so they've got a brain that hasn't grown much in knowledge, even as they reach into their senior years. But here Paul prays that they increase in the knowledge of God. Ever increasing, always growing, always learning more. Verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet, that means fit, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Listen to what Paul says the church is. Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. I don't know how many churches today that is true of in reality. But that is what the church is to be. The pillar and ground of truth. The pillar means the post, the support, and the ground means the basis, the foundation. The church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. We are dedicated to sharing the truth of God's Word to you from this place. And the truth is, you need the truth. You need to walk in it, live it, love it. It'll keep you straight all your days. Verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. I hope you know. Few people do in the church. Jesus created everything. Jesus is the creator. But look at verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. We're to teach them. We're to be an example to them. The principalities and powers in heavenly places. And I speak chiefly of those forces that are working against us. The only way you can do that is by knowing the truth, walking in the truth of God's Word. Let me read from verse 9 without stopping. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Let me inform you how the sanctified, because that's what the truth does, the Word teaches us, it sanctifies us, it sets us apart, it makes us holy more and more and more. Let me share with you how the sanctified, truth-living children of God should respond, if they're not already living this way, should respond to this message fully, they believe not the truth, they love not the truth. Truth-living children of God will respond in this way. They will have integrity before God as Jesus did while He lived on the earth. You must live the truth. Don't just spout it. Don't just write it down and pass it on to somebody. Let them see it as being lived out by you. No contradictions. Truth-loving, truth-living children of God will walk faithfully in the truth that they know and will not deny the truth. That's going to grow increasingly hard for us if we value our freedom, food, things that are important to the earthly life. We'll be asked to deny the truth. We'll be asked to renounce the truth. We must walk faithfully in it and not deny it. We need to obey the truth even though it is easier to go another way. It's like the difference between telling the truth and lying in a situation. Lying so much easier gets you off the hook. But before God, it is the wrong direction. Obey the truth even though it is easier to go another way. Seek to know and understand more truth as a lifelong desire. You are, I am, to have a love affair with truth. To love truth that much. Face falsehood and do not agree with it. I don't mean that you should run around calling this and that and the other thing a lie and getting yourself in all kinds of trouble, but when the occasion arises and you need to stand for truth, face the falsehood and do not agree with it. Stand for the truth even when doing so is costly for you. Seek to understand what you learn is truth that you might become free, as Jesus said, or freer, the more you grow in it. And lastly, note those that turn away from the truth and be careful when you're around them. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived," which is what? Missing the truth, not knowing the truth, believing something that you want to believe even though it's deception. "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." The word communications means associations. Evil associations. Some Christians have friends and clubs and things that are associations that are wrong, that are out of alignment with what the Word of God teaches. The word communications means companionship. Your best friend, maybe, is bad for you. Communication means intimacy and communion. Evil communications corrupt good manners. That means habits and character. Contaminates. You've heard the old adage, one rotten apple spoils the whole basket. That can be true if you spend too much time around apples that are rotting. We need to note those that are not walking in truth and be very careful around them if we don't, in fact, decide to stay away from them. Verse 34, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Because there's no reason in the world why you and I cannot have the knowledge of God. We carry it on our hand. There's 66 books. It's called the King James Version Holy Bible. It is to be our bread for daily living. What are the two catastrophic rejections that men and women, believers and unbelievers, will make that will open the door wide to have faith in the great lies of these last days? What are the two catastrophic rejections? They reject the truth. And those that might not at first reject the truth might reject the gift of love for the truth, which will lead to deceptions. Amen. If you're able to join me standing, I want to pray for you. Father, here standing with me are those brothers and sisters that you have given us to love and to associate with and share and pray for. Lord, we deeply appreciate, you know this is true, Father, we deeply appreciate their lives, their fellowship, and their friendship. We love them deeply. Lord, we're in these last days now, and there's many threats against us, very serious threats. It's not so much threats against our living and dying that are serious, because we only need to fear that one that has power over the soul after death to throw into hell or not. So threats against our physical lives are real, and they're going to become more real, but those are not the real threats that I speak of and that I'm concerned over. Lord, for my brothers and sisters and all that would have ears to hear, I pray, Lord, that you would help them to prepare for the threats against their soul, that they would believe lies. Lord, the only inoculation that I am aware of is the Word of God and the truth of God. Lord, my brothers and my sisters need to read the Word, think about the Word, talk about the Word, live the Word in their lives, confess the Word, quote the Word. And Lord, as they do these things, if they've not already discovered it, you offer, you endow that believer with a love for the truth that makes such a huge difference in being faithful to the truth all of our days. I ask, Lord, on behalf of these, Lord, that you would offer them that love for the truth. Lord, if they've not experienced it, if it's foreign to them, Lord, I ask that you offer that great gift of love for the truth, because that can make all the difference in standing to the end. Lord, would you do that? Lord, for each one that will receive it, I ask that you give them a double portion like Elisha asked for from Elijah's anointing. Would you give them, Lord, a double portion of the love for the truth that even you've given me? Lord, let me be the Elijah, but let them be the Elishas where it comes to the truth, loving the truth of God especially. Give them a double portion, Lord. Oh, I pray that these who may long survive me when the real war begins, these who may survive me, Lord, are twice as powerful in the truth of God's Word as I have been. Lord, I ask that you raise them up by the truth of God's Word and love for it to be mighty in these last days, that they would be the voice that would stand for truth. I pray and I bless you for offering it to us, O God. In the name of Jesus, the Messiah, we pray.
You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshureword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.